This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the GBAC Nation on 105.3. The Fan, thanks for making us part of your day. We have a C-Note coming up here at 3:20. Cowboys news of the evening. Time now to talk with John Owning, Pro Football Focus. Following this draft, big eventful Cowboys offseason hopefully coming up. John, how the heck are you this afternoon?
He's in the building! Doing great. Finally out of the draft storm. You know, done working 13-hour days, so it's nice.
Yes, nice. I can imagine. And it looks like you've been watching these new Cowboys quite a bit. Do you like overall what they did?
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of what the Cowboys did, especially on the first 2 days. And even on day three, I like a lot of the picks they did, even though some of them weren't, you know, ideally what I would have done. But, you know, kicking off the draft with Tyler Booker, Donovan Asaroku, and Shavon Ravel, I think it's tough to beat those three in their entirety. Personally, I had Ravel and Asaroku ranked a little bit higher than Tyler Booker pre-draft, but the fact that you're able to grab all three in the first three rounds, I think that's just a fantastic haul.
Tell me more about what you're seeing with Asaroku and what you think he can do in the NFL year one.
Oh, I love Asaroku. I think he was one of the most technically sound and best pass rushers in this entire class. He was my second rated edge defender behind Abdul Carter. The major thing that I love about him is just the efficiency of his movement. He doesn't waste a lot of steps. You see a lot of younger edge defenders or younger pass rushers, they waste a lot of movement on their way to the quarterback. And when you're racing to the quarterback and how quickly those quarterbacks are getting the ball out these days, you have to be efficient with your movement. Every step has to be gaining ground on the quarterback. And I think Asaroku does that extremely well. When he's cornering, he's not taking extra steps. He's not having to gear down because he has to slow to maintain his balance. He's able to maintain his balance at high speeds with great bend and great closing speed. And I think his ability to chain together moves, the setup moves, to win with his hands, to be able to slip punches, parry punches, all those things are going to make him a very effective pass rusher. I think even from year one, I think he's someone who can give you, you know, 6 to 8 sacks in year one if he gets enough snaps, if he gets enough time on the field, for sure.
John, when it comes to the first round pick, Tyler Booker, some of the criticisms are just the lack of athleticism, especially like the combine numbers and stuff. What would you say in response to that?
I'm a big person on, I think athleticism really matters in the NFL, but the position where I think it arguably matters the least is the guard position. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just because things like angles, pace, those type of things matter so much more than overall raw athleticism. I mean, we saw Travis Frederick here, who is arguably a worse athlete than Tyler Booker, and he was still able to be very successful on those movement type plays, on zone runs where he has to reach a one technique, or he's pulling out on a gap run, or, you know, he's even getting out on a screen. We saw that the things that matters on those are just your ability to play with pace and your ability to take good angles to your good blocking angles. Those things matter way more than your ability, how fast you are in a straight line, or those type of things. But I would even say the people that are really worried about his tested athleticism, the one combine or pro day drill that really translate even adequately well to offensive line play is the 20-yard shuttle. And Tyler Booker's 20-yard shuttle tested into the 74th percentile, the one he did at his pro day with Alabama. And that's a very good score that I think kind of illustrates that he does have the functional athleticism to succeed in the NFL at the guard position for sure.
How do you think this, like, what do you expect this rushing attack to look like with Clayton Adams now, Connor Riley on the coaching staff, Booker now added in, you bring in Jaden Blue. How do you imagine this looks?
I think a big thing, we're going to be living in a duo world, baby, double teams up front, yeah. As many double teams as you can create to create that vertical displacement, you know, be able to have a running back that can jockey with that micro, that will linebacker, depending on the front that they're facing. And he can either hammer it down inside or he can bounce it outside. You know, those type of things. I think we're going to see a ton of inside zone, a ton of duo, those inside runs. And when they want to get outside, I think you're going to see some power, some counters, some of those type of things. Maybe a little bit of, you know, Brian's favorite pin and pull. We'll see a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a much more varied look than we've seen in the past. Clayton Adams, I know when he was with Brian and everybody at the draft show, he was talking about how he's going to run the things that are the strengths of his offensive line. And I think that's something that's going to be very successful because you do have an offensive line that can run a bunch of different concepts. You know, people don't think that Booker should be pulling a lot, but I think, like I said before, he has the functional athleticism to pull on occasion if you need him to do. Tyler Smith obviously has the functional athleticism to pull. Guyton does, Terrence Steele does, all these guys can move. So I think that those kind of combinations give you a lot of flexibility with the way that you can attack defenses. And I think you're going to see the Cowboys be a type of team that is more defense dependent and is what they're going to do. Maybe some days they're going to be more of an inside zone team versus a certain scheme. And then other times you're going to see them really try to attack the edges with those, you know, pin and pulls or those power schemes, those counter schemes, those type of things. So I just think you're going to see a much more modular running system than we have seen in the past.
John, how concerned should we be about the Blues' issues with fumbling? I tried to reach out to people at Texas and talk about it and see if there was anything they did. I haven't heard back, but I was just wondering from your evaluation point.
It's definitely the major concern. I mean, when watching him, I think he has a lot of the traits that you want in a quarter and a running back that can vie for being in a starter immediately. Almost, he has the speed, he has the patience behind the line when he's running in between the tackles. You even seen him really well be able to manipulate second level defenders. His big run against Clemson, he had a run designated to hit, I believe it was the B gap, the weak side B gap.
Yeah.
And there was a free linebacker that was scraping over to the A, but he could have scraped over to the B, but you saw him jab step at that A gap that pulled in that middle linebacker. So then he had no opportunity to get to that B gap once Blue accelerated and that allowed him to get, I think it was like a 77 yard touchdown run. And that's kind of the thing that he does extremely well, is when he has a little bit of a, I don't want to say he needs a runway, but when he has space to make decisions and to make people miss, he does that at an extremely high level. As long as he's not getting backfield penetration, I think he's going to do a ton of good things. But the fumbling is a big concern. You know, it's something that, you know, you need to glue the ball to him. I don't know if he has to carry it with him, sleep with it, what he has to do, but I do think it's something that's inherently fixable. It's not something that is dire, I would say, for his career. I think it's one of those things that it has to come from him. No one else is going to be able to fix it. He just has to make the concerted effort to have the concentration to put in the work necessary to fix that aspect of his game.
It's John Owning of Pro Football Focus here with you in the G-Bag Nation talking Cowboys, formerly of the Dallas Morning News. Dogs are barking, John. What do you think the Cowboys are going to do with these corners? I mean, I know you love Revell there. Are they gonna pay Bland, keep Diggs, or is this like the 1 year where they had Lamb, Amari, and Gallup all together before money got involved?
I think that Diggs is kind of a guy that it should be most worried about his job. I think Bland, his ability to play outside and inside, that versatility and do both at such a high level, I think that makes him the type of guy that you need to really lock up for the future. And he's someone who I would be making as a clear priority to make sure he's on my team for the long distance future. And I think Revell, you know, he has a similar skill set to Trevon Diggs. So I think that makes Trevon Diggs, out of all three, the most expendable one. And after last year, it's kind of hard to expect, you know, the top three corners to all play with each other. It seems like somebody always gets nicked up and prevents them from being on the field all at once. So I don't really have super high hopes in that category. But if they do get on the field, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a more talented top three cornerbacks in the league, for sure.
Is Revell going to tackle better?
I hope so. I think, especially in an Eberflus scheme, if he's not, he's not going to see the field.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about the UCLA defensive tackle, JT? Do you think he's a guy that could be like in the starting lineup on rundowns and be better than Mozzie Smith?
Well, the first thing I learned is he's Tongan and not Maori, so he doesn't do the Hakka. But
that's a good point.
Besides that,
see the things in scouting you learn there, man.
Right, yeah, John? You know, there are differences between the Pacific Islanders. Who would have known?
Who would have known?
But Toei is a guy. Before the draft, I wasn't really a huge fan of. I just kind of get put off in the pre-draft process by when I see nose tackles consistently get reached by centers on zone runs. I think that's something that, you know, has specifically hampered the Cowboys a lot in the past. So it's something that kind of puts me off. And I think that kind of gave me a negative lens of his talent level and his kind of, you know, his grade. I gave him, like, I think a sixth-round grade. But when I went back and I watched him post-draft, you know, looking at him with a Cowboys eye and, you know, not having that kind of like negative lens cloud my judgment, you do see some positive traits that I think can make him someone who can contribute a role year one. You know, his ability to, you know, get off the ball quickly when he was playing in a more attack front like he was, like he would be here against teams like, I think, Iowa and Nebraska games especially, he showed the ability to make first contact, to create that push, to reset the line of scrimmage and to make plays in the backfield, or at least cause the kind of backfield disruption that allows others to make plays. I know Carson Schwechinger on more than a couple of those plays was able to make tackles because Jay Toriwai set him up a free run to the ball carrier. So really impressed with that. I just really struggle with his lateral mobility, you know, against zone runs. I think he's the type of guy, put this on X, that against zone running teams, I think he's someone who's not going to really have much ability to function at a high, at a decent level, a starting level, a capable level in those games. But when we see teams that run more of a gap scheme, those duos, those big on big type of runs, those vertical downhill teams, those inside zone teams, I think you're going to see him have a little bit more success and he's going to be able to function and have a pretty good role. So I think year one, he's going to kind of have a scheme dependent role. And then hopefully in year two, year three, maybe he loses 10 to 15 pounds or something and just get that lateral mobility so he could just stay connected to his gap just a little bit better on those type of zone runs.
Yeah, John, I think you have him right. I thought the wider you went on him, the more problems that he had right there. That he was, you know, when he just, you know, it wasn't, yeah, he would move his feet and all that, but he just maybe the little bit further to his right or to his left, there's some issues there with that.
Yeah, and I think a big issue of that is because he plays with a really narrow base a lot of times.
They might have to adjust that for sure.
Gets him displaced a lot by those double teams that hit him from like adjacent. When he's taking things on square, he's really tough to move. But when you get those lateral kind of moving double teams, he kind of gets displaced a little bit more than you would like to see. And that allows the adjacent gaps to really swell, and it makes life extremely difficult in the linebackers.
Your thought on Ezeraku, and I think to me with the Cowboys, I didn't really see this one materializing. You know, we were kind of doing pre-draft. We were talking maybe the defensive tackle, the one technique. We were talking corners. We were talking a lot of different things, but we weren't talking like edge rusher. Where did you have in relation to, say, some of the other pass rushers that were on your board?
Oh, Ezeraku, I would love him. He was my edge two behind Abdul Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Abdul Carter got a top 10 grade, but Ezeraku was the only other edge to get a first round grade. So
there you go.
He was like, I gave Mike Green was an early round two grade, so he wasn't far away. But Ezeraku was definitively like my guy in this class. I think it's just the tech. You don't see very many guys come into the league that are as technically sound as him, that have the pass rush repertoire, the efficiency of movement, the ability to win in so many different ways, and the ability to know how to use those moves to win. He knows how to set them up and those things, and I was just extremely impressed. The one thing that I think hampered him in college was just light in the lower body. You know, he doesn't have that anchor to really hold on against bigger offensive tackles who are kind of base blocking him or double teams between the tackle and the tight end. Those type of things give him some issues. But he still knows how to – he takes on blocks well. He plays with a good base. He just doesn't have that sheer strength and that lower body, you know, mass to really hold up in those situations, and that might just get exacerbated in the NFL. So I just think if you can put a little bit more weight on his lower half without sacrificing the athletic ability, he's someone who can have just an not only an instant impact, but a prolonged impact. I said on Twitter that I think he could be a kind of a DeMarcus Lawrence type of second round pass rusher for the Cowboys. And everybody knows how much I love DeMarcus Lawrence.
That's right. John Owning, Pro Football Focus, with us here on The Fan. Should the Amari Cooper addition be a no brainer for these guys at this point?
I mean, I would. I think he's not the same Amari Cooper that he was for the Cowboys, but if he can give you what he was with the Browns in 2023, or even a little like 90% of that, I think he's by far the best wide receiver number two that you would have. And I think, you know, having that big body guy to be the number two, I think he complements CeeDee Lamb extremely well, who likes to move around, play in the slot, playing all these different positions. So you need other receivers who can also move around depending on where CeeDee Lamb is. And I think Amari Cooper fits that. And also, he's not going to be super expensive. So I think that that's something that's a positive as well.
Thank you so much for your Cowboys thoughts, John. Enjoy this offseason, and we'll try to catch up with you soon.
Hey, thank you guys a lot. Really appreciate it.
Salute to you. Yes, I must follow on Cowboys Twitter there, John Owning. Known him a long time now from his days in the morning news and now working for Pro Football Focus. But his understanding of like the analytics and the film and you know everything, he brings it all together quite well.
Sure does.
And former G-Bag of the Day champion as well.
That's right.
Freaking legend. List of
I thought you were going to put him on the list again with a question about his dog. Does he express his dog's little anal joint or whatever? I heard a dog bark. I was like, oh, Eric, here it is, bro.
Missed opportunity. I'm kicking myself.
And he's a jujitsu guy too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big jujitsu guy there. I see him on his social media sometimes.
It's crazy. He's a jujitsu guy, but people were chiming in that his voice sounds like Tom Brady.
Really?
So what an incredible, I mean, he might hit all the right notes for Giselle.
I guess I do hear that a little bit now.
Jujitsu and Tom Brady. I see what you're doing.
Look at that.
I see what you're doing.
I see what
you, John.
Matchmaker right here.
This is your time.
Does he have a girl?
Be the dad who stepped up, John.
Probably. You know, kind of like that.
Yeah, put her on the toes right now, though. You know what I mean? Get some act right around here.
Thinking about those dogs and expressing their glance, though, I think that's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
If I get a dog that needs to have that done, we're looking for another breed. I'm quite honestly shocked this thing's still around.
Express your damn self.
Is it bulldogs? Is it like a
special? Yeah, a lot of bulldogs.
The bulldogs. Yeah. Wow, they have a problem with their nose and their rear, huh?
Yes. Yeah. It's not good.
Front to back.
Yeah.
And their poor little hearts too.
Really?
Yeah. Poor little hearts are terrible.
Oh, jeez.
They are cool. And they're kind of cute and ugly at the same time. But dude, there's no way I'm gonna ever do that to an animal. You know, or especially I'm not gonna pay a lot of money for it. Those things cost you a couple grand.
They're expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are.
Okay. What I think is the real story on why the Cowboys didn't take a wide receiver in the draft that's coming up next year in the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah, buddy. Well, question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Instacart is on a mission
to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back. It's the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Brian found the Champions League here on DirecTV at the break after the storm finally subsided enough for us to get the damn signal in here. And Inter scores, so they lead 3-2 in the 65th minute Champions League semifinals, leg one. Segment's also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
Oh, that was the equalizer, wasn't it?
Just like that, off a corner.
Dawson, you'd appreciate this.
That was incredible.
You see the guy sold the dummy?
Yeah.
And everybody just went right to him. I don't know these players. I'm sorry.
Rafinha.
But it was a beautiful, boy, what a beautiful dummy to get this shot off. Yeah.
And a great strike to tie it almost instantly there. It's now 3-3. But, yeah, that's a sweet play right there and a great finish
right
underside of the crossbar and off the goalie and in. Okay, C-note here. I'm gonna give you my thoughts on maybe another reason the Cowboys didn't take a wide receiver. But amongst our questions here today, how good was the Cowboys draft? Really, I see a lot of good greats. We just had John Oning on Pro Football Focus. You've heard Broadus Wolchuk talking about him all week long. I saw they were like top seven with Pro Football Focus. These are the RAS scores, okay? Relative athletic scores. Mm. The average of the players, Commanders got the best athletes. The Giants are third. The Eagles are fourth. They got the fourth best. The Cowboys
all
are
in
dead
the division?
Last. Yes.
All in the division.
The division is three of the top four athletic teams out of the combine, and the Cowboys are dead last.
Jeez.
So, the question is, as a scout, Brian, do you think that's a red flag at all, or is that a trust the tape situation?
It's a lot of it is trust the tape, but man, I mean, if teams are, athletic ability is a big part of this, and we were talking about, John was saying about the coaches, and we had a chance to interview the coaches, last week or during the draft, and they were talking about, hey, we're not going to do things that we can't do. So, but yeah, it's the tape is super important, but athletic ability testing and stuff I think is important. My thought about with Will Johnson and that whole thing with Michigan, and I was being all crusty and mad about him not working out, So yeah, those numbers are important to me, the workouts, so I can able to compare, the various players. But man, that's surprising me. I thought that the Eagles had a really good draft when it came to day three. I was like, and that's off my board. That's just off my board. But man, for Dallas to have the lowest of the four, that was surprising.
Lowest of the four, lowest in the league.
Oh, lowest in the league. Oh, I thought that was the division, Nick, because, Yeah.
What do you say, Chief? Big deal or not?
I can't say it's not a big deal, because on the surface, I would think you would want to draft as many athletes. Like, being dead last in something like this does not feel great. But when you look at it, like, Ravel wasn't able to really work out.
He wasn't.
So, like, he doesn't count for them in any way.
Yeah.
How athletic is he? How much would that have helped their number? You had a handful of guys like Cornelius and Toya and Maffa. Like, there's not... They didn't do enough to really accumulate a score. So you're only going off of a few guys. And unfortunately, Booker's bringing the number down because, like, Ezeraku hits it in the green. Like, that's a really athletic dude. But Booker, he's bringing the number down in a big way because his just RAS combine numbers are not great.
Yeah.
And even if, you know, we're still talking about some of the best college players in the world, like, relative athleticism is important here. And it's still hyper athletic.
Oh no, it is. It's important. And I can say I'm the guy that's always arguing for the numbers. I want to see the numbers. So I want to be able to compare. But I think John brought up a good point about the 20 shuttle and things like that. Those are things when you start to talk about offensive linemen, it is the, you know, the 10 yard split. And then also then what's going to do with the shuttle. And, you know, like I say, I think both of those were, you know, at least the shuttle aspect, I think, was really, really good for Booker, like he was talking about.
It is the C note here, Cowboys news of the evening in the G-Bag Nation. Bleacher Report's Brad Gagnon, not quite sure how to say his last name, but he was asked for one word to describe the Cowboys draft. I don't know what one word you guys would use, but he said neglectful for not getting a wide receiver or a higher ranked running back. Now, I think Jaden Blue might end up being the steal of the draft or one of the steals of the draft.
I think the fumbling is a question for teams. I think that's why they probably had him downgraded like they did. And I do like, I'm sorry, go ahead and finish your thought there on that.
No, I mean
to me, the thing with the wide receiver, I think they had every intention of drafting a wide receiver at 12.
Mm-hmm.
I think they absolutely. And then when Carolina took their guy and you know, there's a couple of different ways you could look at that. You know, the Carolina did a great job of not telegraphing even, but you watch Carolina play, they were awful at wide receiver. So it makes sense to have one of the best wide receivers on your board. But I think Dallas had the intention of doing that. I just don't think they thought enough of Golden and Abuka, with the
Abuka, other Burton in the second round pick. Abuka,
they didn't think enough of those guys. And so did they have them as first round grades? Likely. But they also had guys like Booker and others in between. And we always talk about, hey, don't reach, don't jump tags, don't do this, don't do that. All these rules that you don't want them to do, and you know they could have said, oh wow, we'll take a receiver that's down here that we have as our, you know, as our 15th best player instead of maybe this offensive lineman that we have as our 6th best player.
Yeah, I think it's good long-term team building. It's more best player available stuff, which is what this team should be doing right now. You have so many holes, you really can't afford to get cute. I do think it's an admission from the team as well that, yes, we could upgrade our second wide receiver spot, but how much does this matter if we can't protect Dak and run the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think, like, Dak throwing under pressure to the number two wide receiver who's not as good as McMillan is going to solve much for us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that, to me, when we talk about things, Dawson, and I know we've had this discussion before, Dak throwing the football 40 times a game is not good.
No.
It's not. And so if you tell me where Dak Prescott was really good, and maybe it was goes all the way back to his rookie year, where there was a running game, there was the ability like that took that 1,600 yards came off the pressure that he had. Now, I know it was his rookie year, but the more that Dak throws the ball, the more he's likely to get in trouble. And so, you know, adding an offensive lineman, adding a back, hopefully that alleviates Dak having to throw the football a bunch.
Is it that way with most quarterbacks? Like, once you get over 35 throws, your winning percentage collapses because you're trying to catch up in the fourth quarter?
I think there's always the chance for problems there. The more you throw the ball, the more problems you have. You know, because, like you say, you just don't know when you drop back, you know, is your receiver going to run the wrong route? Is the ball going to clang off your receiver? Are you going to get an interception that way? So, to me, I mean, we always laugh about, oh, they're talking about balance. Oh, we got to balance. Got to have balance. It really is true. Try and have balance to try and help your quarterback if your quarterback might be prone to have either bad luck or poor throws.
Yeah, it's the extra players in the secondary, really, the safeties and linebackers that are lurking.
If he doesn't see, and you talk about clogging cover.
Yeah.
If he doesn't see linebackers, he he might make a bad throw. If he doesn't see a safety, he might make a bad throw. So the more you put him in those situations, he can make a lot of great throws, but he could also make ones that go. His interceptions are generally ones where you go, God, he didn't see the guy. Mm-hmm. Or, damn, if Gallup would have just caught the ball with his hands instead of body catching it,
yeah,
that wouldn't have been an interception.
And if I can get McMillan, I feel like Dak can throw it over there, and McMillan's catch radius is so good, that's sure. going to be a plus over the course of 17 games. He's going to make yeah. way more plays yeah. than we're wishing we could have back. Cowboys' new players have numbers. Booker, 52. Ezeraku, 41. Siobhan Revelle is going to wear 27. I'm sorry, Chief. Did you have something on that last topic?
No, well, I was just thinking, like, overall, I love the way that they approached it. I know they weren't able to solve all of their most pressing needs the way we viewed it at wide receiver and stuff, but I feel like they obviously got the best players available in their mind at the time, and I feel like they used it on premium positions. Offensive line, that's premium to me. Corner, edge rusher. So I think the biggest second guess special goes back to the Jonathan Mingo trade, because in the fourth round you could have had Jalen Royals, a guy that I know brought us and many others who ended up in Kansas City, I think in the fifth round.
Yeah.
You could have had him in the fourth round. Like, just that player swap right there. Would I rather have Royals instead of Mingo? 100%.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would have been feeling much better about this draft if had you been able to solve that in the fourth round, but we don't view Mingo like that.
See, this is the problem, though, and we say it a bunch, though. What I wanted doesn't jibe with what they want. You know, I mean,
fair.
I'm a media scout. You know, I'm telling you what players I like. I get the vibe that they didn't like Martinez, the running back from Miami. You know, who would have been like who was taken in the seventh round? Would I have rather him than Moffa? Absolutely, I would have. You know, Krosky Merritt, another guy I scouted. I would have loved to have him over Moffa.
Yeah, so it's not to say that they would have got the guy we wanted at wide receiver in the fourth round if they had the pick.
They probably cared less about that Utah State wide receiver than I did. And I really liked the player a lot. He was my 50th best player on my board. But they probably didn't think that way about him.
We're going to have to go to VAR up here in the Champions League. Inter has scored, but it was ruled offside. We have had a Barcelona red card, 75th minute, tied at 3. I thought he was on, Brian. I thought he was on live. I thought he was on in the replay, but we shall see. Mishota did undrafted free agents most likely to make the team. Let's wrap up our C-note with that. He went Rivaldo Fairweather, tight end Auburn, who apparently is a good blocker, which might give him an angle.
They really like him a lot. If you talk to the tight ends coach, I'm hearing whispers from him. Yeah, the other people that have been with him, that they are really excited about him.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, has a story up about Tyler Booker's journey, you know, leaving home at 14 to go to IMG Academy. A path that's pretty common in Europe. You know, a lot of these soccer players, they leave home 13, 14, like Luca, 12, to go be at an academy where you're getting all your education in like 8 hours of your sport a day by the highest possible professionals. But he did it and, you know, then ended up at Bama. All the stories just continue to tell the tale of one of the bravest and boldest leaders that we've ever come across in football. Mm-hmm. Apparently at Bama, before the Michigan playoff game, he told his teammates that if anybody wants to transfer, you got to go through me first.
Yeah.
Every time I'm reading a book or story, there's just more absolute leadership gold from this dude.
Yeah. He's 10 out of 10. I mean, the easiest guy in the world to root for. You just every time that he spoke throughout the last few days and we got to have him on the show, what an incredible character.
Yeah, yeah, excited that the Cowboys got him. And I think another one of these guys, maybe like a young Micah, a young, you know, Dez Bryant, who's like, I don't care what the history says, I'm going to take us to the championship. I'm going to insist. You know, he feels bad that he didn't win enough at Bama. Didn't win a national championship at Bama. Says, you know, I got to make up for that. Okay, it's time for Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to look at, there's a list of top 100 players on value. I'm going to see if it matches with what I thought. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Luke.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, Every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, draw deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan, and time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you, Reliant, as well. Dawson, this is the first leg of this thing?
Yeah.
Of this match? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so we got more to look forward to.
How many is it? Is this like a four-legged sort of creature?
Two-legged.
Two-legged.
Oh, wow. Just standard
home two. And home.
Home right. Yeah,
whoever
home
has
home.
The most goals wins.
Yeah.
Road goals, first tiebreaker.
It's crazy how the strategy that they have for these things, but looks like a good match so far. I'm sorry we caught it halfway through the.
Oh, this is great.
The proceedings of it.
Yeah, just a little disappointed the officials saw that as offside against Inter. I thought it was clearly on.
You picked Inter, right? I think, yeah. I picked Barcelona in this thing. I just did that because I feel like I know Barcelona a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Inter's kind of an upstart here to be here,
yeah.
Kind of the underdog there. But Lewandowski not playing for Barca today. There with the hammy.
With the hammy. All right. always quick to be involved.
I mean, right. I let it go for a second, and I was like, "Well, they're just going to talk about soccer.
No,
then
no,
I might
no,
as well
no.
Just let it fly."
Hey, we got a lot of soccer fans out there. We really, really do. All right, Matt Miller from ESPN.
R.I.P. Bro.
Matt Miller.
Yeah, he's amazing. Amazing rapper. Left us way too early.
Oh, okay. Any background?
God bless him.
You want to talk about Matt Miller? I'll yield a minute of my time to you.
I just want to say God bless that man.
Okay.
He's amazing.
Mr. Mack, right?
Yeah, Mr. Mack.
Is he a Texas guy?
No. Pittsburgh? Yeah.
Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Point Breeze.
Okay, how do we know so much
about him? You know Mack Miller? You've never heard of Mack Miller?
No. You've never liked to watch movies?
You know that, Lucius. I never watch movies.
Watching movies?
I never watch movies.
People worship these haters till they come in contact with gods.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Give you a good
all
idea
right, when you put it like that.
All right.
Of course I know this guy.
All right.
He's incredible.
He's one of the best I've ever seen. He was such a talented individual. Yeah.
Yeah, the late great, man. Gosh, I can't believe that was 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Time flies.
It's been a while.
Scary.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? All right. The Matt Miller who currently works for ESPN.
If you say so.
Yeah. Not the most famous Matt Miller, right?
No. Well, this is Matt with a T. We were talking about Mac with a C.
Mac.
But it's all the same.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's
the
name.
Alphabet.
This guy's is name isn't really? In Matt. It's Mac.
Yeah. M-A-C. That's right.
All right.
Big Mac Miller. What has he done?
I think Lucius is getting back to me for all those times of interrupting him. Is what he's doing.
He's got AIDS.
When he got those AIDS, I don't think it was full blown AIDS. I think it was just HIV.
Jeez, sorry about that, Mac. Right. All right. Matt Miller, ESPN. He put out his top or the best picks that were made over the seven rounds of this draft. And I kind of want to kind of talk about him a little bit because I think it's pretty interesting what he's got working here.
He looks at everyone's pick and decides whose pick is the best.
Yeah. He actually gave, of his top 100, he gave the Chicago Bears the best pick.
Really?
At pick 239.
Well,
not the number 239, round two, pick 39.
That's the best pick?
The best pick in the draft. He gave that to Luther Burden III, wide receiver from Missouri.
You loved him too.
I did love him some.
That's the guy you were most hoping would make it to 44 in between those 2 days?
I was. And now it's got me a little worried that Mr. Miller liked him so much that maybe I missed the guy. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, shots fired.
I'm just kidding. No, I love Matt. But he said, Burton was my top wide receiver in the class, and he's counting Travis Hunter as a two-way player is what he said, and he landed in a great situation with the Bears and new coach Ben Johnson. He's kind of talking about the yards after catch ability is also terrific. His number two player on this board, I'm just going to go through the top 10, and I'm going to tell you, there's some Dallas Cowboys on this list, and we'll go through those guys too. He's got Will Johnson, the cornerback from Arizona. That was at pick 247. He had him as Will Johnson as his seventh best player on his board. I didn't have Will that high.
He was from Michigan but went to Arizona?
Right. He's from Michigan, went to Arizona to the Cardinals. He said Johnson was a top 10 player in this class when looking solely on the film and not accounting for injuries. While he did not want to slip to the second round, Jonathan Gannon's system is a great fit for him. He's kind of comparing this guy to Trayvon Diggs with his ball hawking skills.
He can hawk some balls now. I just saw some highlights of him earlier.
Yeah. Number three, Ashton Jeanty. That was pick 1-6 overall. We all know about Ashton Jeanty. I had him as my second best player of my stack, 235, but he says Ashton Jeanty was the third best pick in this draft.
Wow.
At number four, he gives the Philadelphia Eagles at pick 131. That would be Jihad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama.
Man, they do get some big school defenders late in the first, don't they? Whoever's fallen, big school defender will take you.
Yeah. He's got a lot of injury things you're going to have to deal with here. A man's got knee and shoulder problems. I think that's the reason why he slid to where he did. But I go back to when 1998 when we took Jeremiah Trotter and didn't know that Jeremiah Trotter, doctor said, 10 games, 10 years. Can't tell you, Brian. The Eagles probably got a guy that's going to play 10 years here. Every time we think about all these injuries and something you have to worry about, these kids overcome a lot of that.
If their draft luck does not run out, they could easily go back-to-back.
Yeah. Jalen Walker was at number 5 on his board. That was pick 115 by the Atlanta Falcons. There was some talk that the Cowboys were in that mix with Jalen Walker.
I really like that player. Would you have taken him instead of Booker if it was up to you, Brian?
I had him higher on my board than Booker, so yes, I would have.
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, in their mind, it was Walter Nolan, right? It wasn't even between Walker.
Well, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. It was.
If it wasn't Booker, it'd have been Nolan.
Or then with McMillan, I believe. Travis Hunter at number 6. That would be Jacksonville's pick at 1-2, and we know all about Travis Hunter. He has Colston Loveland, the tight end from the Bears, as his 7th best pick. That was pick number 110.
That was a big surprise there at our pluckers.
Yeah, that was a big surprise because everybody thought Warren, the tight end from Michigan, was going to be that guy. Abdul Carter to the Giants at pick 13, the edge from Penn State, number 8. Malachi Starks, the safety from the Ravens. I thought this was a little rich myself. Pick 127. It's a little bit high for him. I didn't see him as a first round player.
The Cowboys take a single safety?
Undrafted free agents, they signed one from. They signed one, I believe. Who it is? I need to go back and look at that. But number 10, just to kind of finish this top 10 out, is Shedeur Sanders, the Cleveland Browns pick at 5-144.
Good pick.
So, those were his top 10. Now, where do your Dallas Cowboys rank in some of these picks?
Yeah, man, show us some love.
Revelle's got to be a great pick. Let me just say that.
Okay, here we go. At pick number 14 as the best overall on Matt Miller's board, Donovan Ezeraku, edge at pick 244. The Cowboys didn't get their receiver or running back need addressed early, but they did get a speedy pass rusher to help Michael Parsons. Ezeraku has excellent length. Those are 34-inch arms and a dynamic first step with a closing speed off the edge. That he is not lying about. He needs to add play power to provide great value in the middle of the second round. But he was the number 14th best pick that was made in, of his top.
Do you think the Cowboys were considering runner there? And when Ezra Rockwood was there, they said, we can't turn this thing down.
I don't know if they had a runner that high.
Judkins?
I think Judkins came off the board.
I think Judkins was in the mix, but you're right. He went off before. I don't know. Like I said, that might have been the pick there. But when he was gone, I think that's what made him pivot to Ezra Rockwood. But I think it was probably pretty close to what you're talking about.
Caleb Johnson was still there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did not. They were not a fan of Caleb Johnson. Siobhan Revelle, he's the 26th best pick. He was picked third round, number 76. He was 57th on Matt's board. Elite size, playmaking ability had him looking like a first rounder before he tore his ACL in September. The Cowboys didn't need a corner in this draft.
That's hilarious.
Which shows how much they valued Revelle. I disagree with you on that one, Matt.
I am glad that the Blue Star Special came in round three instead of round two.
Yeah, that's a good adjustment, I feel. Let's go ahead and just make it a fourth round thing, and then we'll be really good.
Well, we set the fourth rounders on fire. That's
right.
The strategy. Blue Star Specials before that. Fourth round, we just nuke.
Revelle was the 26th best player. The 27th best player on his board was Tyler Booker. That was pick 112. We could debate the value of drafting a guard at 12. Eric won't debate you on that.
I won't debate you on that. That's a premium position now, man. These guards are getting paid. These interior defensive linemen are freak shows, and that's a kryptonite for stud quarterbacks right there in your grill.
Yep.
It's a no-brainer.
But the Cowboys know how valuable a top-level interior lineman could be after having all-pro Zach Martin for 11 seasons. Sometimes teams need to hit singles in the draft, and the Cowboys got at least that in Booker, who is a safe pick. Reinforcing Dak Prescott's protection was clear priority. At number 64 would be Jadon Blue of the top 100. That was pick 5-149. Blue will have a chance to see the field immediately as he was the first running back the Cowboys drafted. He has had some fumbling issues, which we've talked about, but the electric speed out of the backfield and receiving ability is there. He has breakout potential if he can secure the ball. Okay, the final one I want to say is, and I'm just pointing this out, his number 100 was Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, and that was the Commanders pick in the seventh round at 245. That's the guy that I would have taken over.
And Maffa?
Maffa. And he went, and that, again, that's my board. That's my board. But I would have taken Krosky Merritt at that spot instead of Maffa, and he was picked directly right behind Maffa. So we'll see how these careers kind of, I know they're seventh round running backs, but we've seen guys like this have success before. But you know, there's clearly some room for him to get on the field for the Commanders. So I'm going to keep a close eye. He was the number 100th player on Matt Miller's board.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Terrific report. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40. I've been corrected here on the text. The 2-1-4 pointing out road goal tiebreaker is not a thing anymore. They eliminated it. You now go to extra time, 30 minutes, and then a shootout. Because they felt like it was discouraging home teams from attacking. They said it was creating too many defensive tactics and boring games here in these second legs. So now if you're tied, you're going to extra time. All right, in addition to football's finest coming up next, Chief, where are you taking
it's
us?
It's a bad day to be an Elway or a Favre, plus exclusive sound of Jameis ingratiating himself into New York culture. That's next here in the nation.